When you look at the coin, there's two sides to the coin. And we're all looking at it when we're in the beginning at the front side of the coin. And that's the whole, like, I don't want to be known as one of those people and network marketing, the stigmas, the negativity, etc. But on the other side of that coin is the freedom lifestyle. It is you a millionaire. It is you living your life on your terms. And so eventually you will still be that guy, but it's the guy who made it, or it's the woman who made it. It's the one who spends time with their kids whenever they wish or travel the world. It's the same guy. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Life Mentor. This week, I decided to share a special training I delivered last week to the Freedom Era community who are currently doing a 6A and 6 week sprint. I co-hosted this call with my brother from another mother, Clint X. Morgan, and we shared how we worked together to help him get 29 sales in 6 weeks to hit 6A back in 2016. When I was running for 6A2-3, we made it happen, and I shared the mindset and strategies that helped us achieve such a major goal. I hope this gives you some massive value too. Enjoy.
What's up, everybody? This guy's hilarious. I'm just cracking up so much imagining him going down to the beach and drawing a line in the sand and then like thinking he did, you know, he did the work. And I was, but there was a lot of funny things that happened in our journey. And, you know, it's bringing back all the memories. And the biggest thing that I wanted to start off with is that, you know, that belief around whether it's hard or whether it's easy is really, really critical and true. And when you're in the early part of your business and you look at the number of sales that you need or the number of points or number of volume, it's like looking uphill, right? It's like looking up to a peak that you've never climbed to. And so it's super intimidating. You're like, how the heck am I going to get up there? Like, I've never climbed a mountain before. It's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns. But then in my case now, looking backwards down the mountain after doing this, what we're discussing here, hitting 6A in a short period of time, I've done it multiple times with multiple rank ups. A lot of them have been with Clinton Christie and you know, the whole organization. Even Dash 6 last year was a similar type of run. And looking backwards now, I know it's easy only because in compared to what? And one of my favorite ways of bringing clarity into our lives is this idea of contrast. And a lot of people don't take the time to do this effectively. So when we think about hard, what is hard? How do we define hard? And compared to what? And in our case, when I said it was easy, I was meaning it literally and figuratively, because I'm like, so you got to line up some three-way calls and I'm going to close the sale for you. That's not hard. Like, literally, that's not hard. Like, if you think about hard jobs, you know, there's people out there that have literally very hard jobs, like backbreaking, hot weather, sweating, 15-hour, 20-hour days, like really hard shit. You know, connecting a button on your cell phone that pings me and I answer, that shit's not hard. So I told him, I'm like, this is easy. We just have to do it a lot of times. So that's what we're talking about here, is like, when we look at your goals, when we look at hitting 6A in 6 weeks, it's not hard, you know, and if you compare it to something that's truly hard, that's what lights a fire under your butt. Because in my world, when we talk about what Clint said, is like, I didn't want to be one of those people. We all feel this way at some point in our journey. And most of the time it's where people stop. It's as far as they ever get, because they're not willing to break through that. So they hold on to this idea of who they're supposed to be or what identity they want to be. And they never break through that. But, you know, when you look at the coin, there's two sides to the coin. And we're all looking at it when we're in the beginning at the front side of the coin. And that's the whole, like, I don't want to be known as one of those people and network marketing, the stigmas, the negativity, etc. But on the other side of that coin is the freedom lifestyle. It is you a millionaire. It is you living your life on your terms. And so eventually you will still be that guy, but it's the guy who made it, or it's the woman who made it. It's the one who spends time with their kids whenever they wish or travel the world. It's the same guy. This is just how we see it in the beginning. And then all of a sudden we turn the coin and everyone's like, oh, well, how come you get to live like that? And then they're judging from another place because they're jealous of the lifestyle and the success and the impact and the community. But you got to understand, it's the same guy. So we're committing to the first side of the coin. And as you push through, it starts to spin. And then you see what's on the other side. And that's what we're all working towards. And now, in my case, you know, I had the same stigmas. I had the same fears. I had the same stuff. But I had to make a decision that I had to become that guy for the first part of my journey to, in order to qualify myself to become the next version of that coin on the other side. And now nobody says nothing, let's put it that way. And if they do have something to say, it's not legit. Like it's just talking shit at this point. So that's something you all need to commit into. And with Clint, you know, what we really discussed is he was like, dude, I haven't made a sale in 12 months or whatever it was. I'm not in a good place mentally and stuff. I'm like, dude, all you got to do is team me up. And so I told him an analogy of like volleyball, right? In volleyball, if you've ever played, it's bump, set, spike. That's pretty much the way you play the game. So in his case, I'm like, you don't have to bump, set, spike yourself. You just got to bump, set, and then I get on the call and I'll spike it down. So that was my analogy for him to understand that it's team effort. And we used what's called an edification triangle. And at the time, we didn't have fancy, you know, DBS and online systems and a lot of really cool stuff that you guys have access to today. But we just had the grit and the determination to introduce this to people, to give them an invitation, and to actually share our vision and our goals with them as well. Like, we didn't keep it a secret. We told people, hey, we got this goal. We want to help you during this period of time. And as a result of that, you know, Clint's going to be able to fly to Vegas. We actually met for the first time in person, which is crazy to think, but we were talking all the time online, on the phone, etc. We never met in person until he hit 6A in Las Vegas, and we like gave each other a hug and then got an award on stage. It was like the coolest shit ever, all within like a couple hours. So it was a big day. But the whole point is like, we told people this. Clint's like, yeah, I'm running for this promotion. This is what I got to do. We're going to go to Las Vegas. We're going to get celebrated. It's a really big deal to me. It's important to me. But also as a result of this, we're looking for people who are ready to get started, to make an extra income, to be healthier. And we kind of presented to them the big picture, and people either were in or they weren't. And we just went through a lot of emotions, right? So everybody who's on this call, go ahead and pop in how many products you need to hit your goal, how many products you have left. And let's talk a little bit about how to reverse engineer this, because when you run the numbers, and I say things like it's easy, what you need to understand is that you cannot be using the timeline of 6 weeks for your targets. That is setting yourself up for too many unpredictable things that will likely make you not hit your goal. Because in order to hit your goal, it's going to be at least double, if not triple, what you expect it to take. And so if you're only aiming at the target for between now and the end of the 6 week run, what is going to end up happening is unpredictable things come up. And it derails your plans. And so it sets you back, whether it's people that can't get approved on financing, whether it's you being sick for a few days, whether something happens with the kids and you can't pay attention. There's always going to be surprises that test you. And so what we need to do is we need to collapse timelines so we have multiple opportunities to hit our goal. What does that mean? One of the things that it means is that instead of having 6 weeks to hit 6A, you have 1 week six times. Make sense? So you have 1 week to hit 6A, the next 7 days, and you're gonna do what you gotta do in that 7 days as if that is the official deadline. Then if you get closer, you should get closer to your goal in some way, you get another week to do it. And you have six opportunities at 1 week each. Does this making sense for you guys? So you're actually changing the target, changing the deadline, because it gives you room for the inevitable, the surprises, the setbacks, the things that you're not anticipating, which always happens. And then you're not actually failing your main goal, which is the end of the 6 weeks. You're having these opportunities to pivot, to adjust, to recalibrate, to make different moves and so forth. And so when we're, you know, I saw Maddie just happened to catch your comment, Maddie, earlier, and you said you sent out the 15 webinars in the past week. It's not enough, bro. 15 a day. You know, 15 in a week's not enough. It's too slow. It's not enough action. You need to condense that 15 a day, 20 a day, because what you'll realize is that if your conversions are low and you're only converting 10% of people into an AJIC sale, hypothetically, let's just use that example. That's pretty low, right? 10% would be considered pretty low. So however number of people you need or number of products you need to anticipate to invite or share the offer, the webinar, the two-on-one phone call, whatever tool you're using, 10 times what you anticipate is your outbound marketing. This is making sense. So that way, like if all you did was convert 10%, you'd still hit your goal. But what a lot of people anticipate is like, I'm going to call 10 friends and, you know, 10 of them are going to say yes. This is like how our brains think. And it's very far from the truth. So we need to like reassess it. And if you end up having a 20% conversion, well, shit, you might be on your way to 6A2 a lot quicker than you thought because you blew right past your 6A target. So these are some mental things that we need to recalibrate and understand that the reason why we are failing, the reason why we're not hitting our goals is because we're not getting enough momentum, we're not taking enough action, we're not sending out enough invitations. And so before you can get any positive energy, positive feedback where you're feeling good, like if you send out 50 invitations as an example in a day, and 40 of them ignore you, ghost you, don't reply to you, don't give a shit, 10 of them get back to you, you're stoked, right? You're like, holy shit, I got 10 people to talk to now. I got 10 calls that I can schedule in the next couple of days. But if you only send out 10 and none of them get back to you, you feel like a piece of shit about yourself. You feel like you suck. You feel like this business won't work. This is making sense for everybody. So by us having more volume outbound, even a little bit that gets back to us, we focus on the positives, we get excited about it, and that actually starts to create more success because the next day you're more confident, you feel great. You're like, man, I could do this again. This was fun. Instead of the opposite happening, your self-esteem takes a hit. You start doubting, you start, you know, having these fears and things coming up. So these are things that I've done in my career, both personally, when I hit 6A for the first time, and also with Clint and many other people, is we start off just reassessing the beliefs, getting out of our own way, and truly like declaring that this is what we want to do, this is what we want to become. And if you aren't there yet, you have to make sure that you're an energetic match for this business and that you're truly ready, because going 6A is an initiation. You know, it's truly an initiation of leaving your old self behind, your old life, your old career, your old beliefs, the shit that is holding you down your whole life. To hit 6A, that shit's got to go. So you're initiating yourself into your future, into your millionaire self. It's like step one. Are you really truly ready for this? You know what I mean? Or are you really comfortable with your life? It's not so bad. You know, could make more money, but if I didn't, it's not the end of the world. This kind of justification is what holds people back. So you got to be like, listen, I'm done. And if you truly are, then why wouldn't you declare to the world, social media, friends, family, everybody who knows you, this is what I'm doing. This is my vision. This is my target. If you're ready as well, I can help you. If you're not, that's cool. Keep watching me until you're ready. Reach out. Like, it's very much like, get the fuck out of my way. Here's where I'm going. Do you want to come with me or not? That's the energy about it, right? And people respect it, because when you're that committed, when you're that all in, people start listening. When you're dabbling, you mention it every once in a while. You're kind of sort of like in and out, in and out, in and out. Nobody listens to you. It's just noise. Blah, 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 blah is all people care. But as soon as you commit, people stop and go, wait a second, that's unusual. Nobody commits in 2024. Everybody's dabbling around, distracted by this and that constantly. This person's locked in. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. And then you do a live stream or you do a web class or you do an invitation. They're going to listen because people are searching for people who know where they're going. You understand? At first, people lock on to someone else's vision because they don't have their own. And eventually the belief will grow and they'll branch off and have their own vision. So your job right now is to have a vision that people can lock into. And when we're looking at sales numbers or products that we need or this kind of stuff, remember, it's families. These are real humans, just like you and I. Everybody on this call is not a product. I'm not looking at a bunch of K8s and Anespas on the screen. You understand? I'm looking at your faces. You're humans, you're people, you have families, you have loved ones, you have bills to pay, you have dreams that you want to achieve. So when we're looking at products, that's not really what we're focusing on. What we're focusing on is humans, families, dreams, people. So you need to communicate that. In the next 6 weeks, I want to impact 15, 20 families to have an amazing summer or a great 2024, solve these problems. And then how do they do that? Well, they invest in the business and the products. And so you still achieve your goal, but we're not talking products. We're not focusing on products. Is it making sense for you guys? So like that's a really big shift. And people start to actually feel like you're there to help them, you're there to listen, you care, and that's what you need for people to make an investment with you, to buy products from you. It has to come first. And even Clint mentioned it before. He said, like, I checked in on him because I genuinely was like, yo, how are you, man? What's up? How are things going? And then when he said he quit, this isn't for him, I wished him well. He said that earlier, right? I'm like, I wish you well, man. I hope whatever you get up to is great. If you change your mind or you're ready or you want to do this thing, reach out to me and I'll be here. I just had a guy actually, funny that Clint mentioned that, I had a guy who hit 6A with me 8 years ago. Okay, his name's Nicholas Lascalzo. Clint actually knows Nicholas. You met him before, way back when. And Nicholas quit the business. He's almost 6'2". He's done other things. He has two kids. He's become a successful investor in real estate. He's done well for himself. He actually works for Zoom, like legit, like the corporate company Zoom. He works for Zoom and stuff. And he reached out to me. He goes, Blaj, I'm so inspired by you sticking to your vision, the growth, the success, the impact. I've watched you from a distance, whatever. I'm ready. I never mentioned anything to him. I never reached out to him. He's like, I'm ready to come back. This is going to be my thing. I'm going to finish what I start. I'm going all the way to the top. Do you mind coaching me? Do you mind mentoring me? And I was like, bro, it's so great to hear from you, man. Of course. What do you mean? Why wouldn't I? You know what I mean? Like, nothing ever changed on my end. You just had other stuff you had to do. And I can relate to that because I had 5 years hiatus with the Nagic in the very start, as most of you know that. So I understand that timing matters energetically. We got to be in the right mindset and actually be ready for this type of opportunity to really be successful with it. So you guys all need to make sure that you're there. And I'm assuming you are, because that's why you're in this container. That's why you're doing the 6A to 6 weeks. But really check in. Really make sure that you're not kind of going through the motions, or you're already thinking about like, well, it's okay if I don't hit 6A. It's not that big of a deal. I can just do it. You know what I mean? Like, this kind of chatter, it needs to be like, you're doing it, you're making it happen. And there's no doubt about it. That's really important. So I can keep going, but maybe I'll just stop there. And cause I think Clint probably wants to jump back in here. I can see him kind of itching. He wants to say some funny shit again. So it's just so much bigger than us. And a lot of you, I know, are dealing with your similar situations like Clint is describing. You know, you feel down and out. You got bills, you got debt, you got stress, you got things piling up, and it just kind of seems to be beating the crap out of you. I know that feeling. I've been there too. It wasn't at the same time in my journey with Enagic. It was prior to that when I got started with Door-to-Door Career, but I know that feeling. I know what that's like. But the way out is actually not focusing on your own stuff. It's on focusing other people. It's on focusing on how you can give back. Because the difference between your pain, your suffering, your problems, your debt, your money stuff, is that you actually have the vehicle, you have the solution, you know what to do. You're here on this call getting the game plan and the strategy from myself, Clint, and other leaders like Christy, who crushed it last week, and everybody who's gonna come after this call. So the difference between your problems is you actually have a path out. The other people are still looking for that. See the difference? So even though you're not necessarily fully winning yet, or you could grow, or you're at the early stages of your business, you are still a couple of steps ahead of most people because you have the path to get out, and you will get out. You know, you just got to do your part. And so that's the invitation that you need to clearly communicate in your social media when you declare that you're sick and tired of the past and what has happened, and, you know, be vulnerable in that sense, and then reach out literally, like your hand, virtually or in person. You know, don't be weird, like don't touch people's hands at the coffee shop, but like, just like whatever works, literally you're reaching out being like, come with me. I have a plan. Come take a look at this. And one of the easiest ways for those of you that are new to sales, marketing, recruiting, networking, this kind of stuff, one of the easiest invitations that you can say that all of you can remember right now in 2 seconds is, let me know if you see what I see. And then send a tool, a video, a web class. That's it. It's that simple. Do you keep your business options open? Could be a way that you start the conversation. Are you looking to supplement your income part-time or replace your full-time income? Have you ever considered making money online? These are some very simple introductory questions, and they're mostly yes or no. Yes, no, yes, no. You're just sifting and sorting. Yes, no, yes, no. If it's a no, no problem. All good. If you ever change your mind, reach out, because that's what I'm helping people do. It's that simple. You don't have to ruin friendships. You don't have to be weird. You don't have to, you know, chase people. None of that stuff. But it's an invitation that if you catch somebody who's actually praying, wishing, hoping for a better life or a better solution, and you are the one who says that to them, imagine how they feel. They're like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for putting that person in my DMs. That's how it feels, quite literally. So then from there, you send a video, you send a tool or something like this, web class, recording, getting on a call, whatever you're using, they all work the same way. And you simply say, let me know if you see what I see. Now, the reason why this works so effectively is because they technically don't know what you see. That ambiguous wonder of, that curiosity, you know, curiosity killed the cat. You guys have heard that? Like, I have to know. I have to know. That's why it works so well. Because then the person's like, the same people that would ghost you or the same people who don't watch stuff or, you know, put it off or whatever, procrastinate, all that stuff, that curiosity starts to eat away at them. They're like, fuck, I need to know what Balazs sees. Like, I need to understand what he's trying to say. So they'll watch him, be like, what does he see? What does he see? What does he see? And then based on their prejudice and their bias, they'll either jump to the conclusion of this is a scam or it's one of those things, something negative like that, or holy shit, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. This is the greatest product I've ever seen. It's the greatest opportunity I've ever seen. These commissions are nuts. It's one of the two. There's no neutral in the middle kind of stuff. And so when you follow up, like, so what did you see? And then you'll know right away. And if they say something that conflicts with your opinion or your belief, something negative, then you're just like, that's not what I see, man. It's all good, right? Simple. But if they're like, wow, I see it. This is epic. And they start reinforcing it. Then you just ask more questions like, what was your favorite part about it? You know, what got you excited? And you're waiting to not put your opinion in their mind. You're waiting to pull it out of them first. And then you agree, because then you have somebody who's taken the time to really express what they've seen and why they are excited and so on. So the whole point around this is that your focus has to be able to go into the future and look back on this moment and realize, like, would your future self be proud of you for just literally inviting everybody, sharing this with everybody? It's a golden goose that can save people's lives, quite literally, health, wealth, freedom, fulfillment, joy, all of the things that we truly desire as human beings in this life. This is the vehicle to give us that. So why would you hold back? Why would you have any embarrassment or fear or any of those things when you know that this is it? You know this is the best thing out there. I know it. You know it. So leave it all out there. Like, leave it on the, like, just let it be known, right? And then what happens is when you look back 5 years from now, 8 years from now, like Clint said, let's use Clint as a perfect example, since he just brought up the 8 years ago. Clint, were there conversations that you had 8 years ago when you weren't really making sales that were kind of, you know, like questionable? Like, you were a little bit like, I can't believe I said that. Embarrassing, made mistakes, said the wrong shit, described the pH backwards on the machine, right? This guy was sharing 2.5, telling people to drink 4 liters a day of 2.5. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't do that. But like, but like, you know, we all make silly mistakes. But then you fast forward 8 years later, does it matter? You know, are you losing sleep about it? Are you embarrassed? Or like, I can't show my face. I can't do rap music. I can't host events. I can't go to the airport because someone's going to recognize me from something I did 8 years ago and make fun of me. None of that shit is relevant. Does that make sense for everybody? When you've made it past that certain point of success, all the silly stuff that we get caught up about and worried about right now is completely irrelevant. It does not matter. None of it matters. So that's what we need to do, is put ourselves in that place of what will matter. How do we want to be remembered by the people that actually matter? Our families, our spouses, our children, Because in 5 to 10 years, that's like the judgment day that will come, is your parents or your kids or your spouse, they'll look at you and go, man, I'm so proud of you 8 years ago that you did all that stuff, man. I know it wasn't easy. I know you felt foolish. I know you got rejected and made fun of and told that your idea was stupid, but you did it anyways and you gave us this life. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, hubby. Thank you, son. Does that not matter more than the random foolish BS that we're all gonna go through anyways? You understand where I'm going with this? This is happening right now in my life, day to day with my daughter. She's 3.5. She starts saying this stuff to me. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for spending so much time with me. Thank you for taking me to the park all the time. And it just fucking makes me, you know, teary-eyed. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, like 10, 11 years ago, if I would have made different decisions, this conversation would not be like this. The conversation would be like, Daddy, why do you never play with me? Daddy, why are you never around? Daddy, why are you always working? Same child, different perspective. That's what we're fighting for. That's what we're doing. And not only for you, but you're doing this for the people that you're reaching out to. You're giving them that. You're giving them a lifeline. And so this is how we hit 6A, is not the numbers, even though they matter. It's not all the strategy stuff. It's like heart to heart, making a real impact and a real difference and inviting way more people than we think we need to. Because if we have more people that we help, worst case scenario, is that bad? Like if you hit 6A2 in 6 weeks, are you going to be upset about it? And be like, whoa, let's pump the brakes, guys. I'm helping too many people. I'm making too much money. Can't believe I'm 6A2 already. Let's just slow down, guys. Is that going to happen? No, you're going to be freaking pumped. So these are the things. Like, I'll give you one last little quick story and I'll pass it back to Clint. But when I was building my business initially, right? This was even before Clint joined my team. I hit 5A in 9 months, okay? So I got to 51, 52 sales or something like this in 9 months. Then I had my mentor come and do an event for me because I was scared about doing live events. I still don't like them to this day. I still don't put them on. It's just not my thing. I know they help people and I enjoy going to them. I just don't like organizing them, planning them, promoting them. None of that stuff. It's not my thing. So anyways, I was like, I know I need to do an event because I want it to be legit and like official. And I wanted to take pictures and like, remember that, like this was my first event. So one funny thing about this. So we're doing this event. It was about 120 people in Burnaby. The top guy, Eli from Enagic, he came. And then my mentor that I hired came with him. And I had a new suit. And I had a white dress shirt with foldable cuffs, with cufflinks. And I got it dry cleaned. And when they dry clean those types of shirts, they take the cuff that folds over and they make it long. And that's how they like flatten it and iron it and make it look all nice, right? So I'm so nervous the day of the event. I'm like shaking and I'm blacking out. I can't think. I can't remember my name. It's like this really weird sensation. I'm like, oh my God, man, I don't know if I could do this. Like, I don't even know what company am I with? Like, what's the product? Like, I was drawing blanks on everything. It was really bad. Like, my brain was just not working. And so I'm getting dressed in my suit and I'm like putting on this shirt and it's way too long. It's like going to like the middle of my hand, you know? And I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I think they gave me the wrong shirt. Oh my God, this is embarrassing. So I put it on, put the cuffs through without folding the shirt back, completely like couldn't register that that's what I do on my shirt. That's how nervous I was. And I did the whole event, okay, the whole day with my shirt down to the middle of my palms. I have pictures still to this day. And I'm like, nobody told me, you assholes. Like, everybody was wearing suits. They all know that that's a thing. Nobody said it to me, right? Anyway, so that was the funny part. So anyways, we had that event. I was at 50 products, 52 or something. I can't remember exactly, but it was right around 50. And from that event, we had 120 people. They were all my team in my downline who invited their guests. And I invited some of my prospects as well. And we got to 80 product sales from one event. I was so excited. I was like, oh shit. It took me 9 months to get to 50 and one more month to get to 80. Like, yo, we're starting to grow, right? I was really, really excited. And that chart that I show you guys sometimes with my exponential growth curve, you'll see that at the end of my first year or end of 2013, I finished with 80 product sales. So going into January, which was the new year 2014, I was like, I'm for sure gonna hit 6A. this month. Like, it's done deal. I need 21 products in January. I got this shit. First week goes by, zero sales. It's like my team fell off the face of the earth. I was like, I'm like, come on, guys. I know we had an awesome December. It was Christmas and stuff, but like, let's get back to it, right? Everybody was MIA. Second week, no sales again. Third week, still no sales. I'm still at 80, 3 weeks into the month. Can you imagine what's running through my head? How would you guys feel in the same sort of shoes? Some of you feel that way right now. Some of you feel that way since you started this 6 week run, feeling like you should have had sales by now. You should be closer to 6A by now. This isn't gonna work. You know, whatever, these kind of thoughts, we all have that happen. It's part of the test. It's literally part of the initiation to have those thoughts, because if it was super easy, everybody would be 6A. You know what I'm saying? Everybody would already be there if it was that easy. No. This is part of the initiation. So I finally, on the 21st of the month, had somebody get ready to get a machine or something like that. And I was like, oh, yes. Like, I broke the dry spell. But I'm like, shit, I still need 20 more product sales. So I remember going to the office, because I was building locally in the Vancouver area at this point. And I went to the office to get this machine product, because I was installing machines by myself at that time. And like, really, yeah, whatever. So that's what I was doing. Not no more. But at the time, it made sense. And then the office manager says to me, hey, Balaj, I think you should hold your sales until next month, because then you have a better chance of hitting your bonus. And the month that you hit 6A, like whatever the gap is, if you have like 20 products gap, your bonus, it's called the 6A step up bonus, is bigger for the following 6 months. So they were trying to help me make more money from the bonus by telling me to hold my order for February. And I kind of looked at her and I almost listened to her. Like, I was almost like, maybe I should listen. Maybe you're smarter. Maybe you have lots of experience with people hitting 6A. Maybe I should listen. But then I had this moment. I'm like, that's such a bitch move. That's what I thought. I'm like, that's such a bitch move. Like, why would I give up before the buzzer has finished the game? Like, I'm an athlete. I play sports. You never give up until the game is over. No matter how down you are, no matter how back you feel, or how much your ass is getting kicked in any type of sport, you do not ever throw in the towel. You give it everything you have until the game is over. And so I'm like, this is kind of like that. That's how I felt. And that comment actually kind of like poked the bear. And we need to find these little chips on our shoulders sometimes, where somebody pokes the bear, somebody disrespects you, somebody has a little slight comment, maybe someone on social media, maybe someone on your ads, maybe it's an old friend from high school, maybe it's your spouse muttering something under their mouth when they're cooking dinner and they have a little low blow comment because they don't think you can do it, or some kind of bullshit like this. Whatever it is, find that thing. I promise you, you need that thing. You need the chip on your shoulder to just be like, oh baby, you guys don't know what I'm made of. You doubted me. You don't think I'm capable, but watch this shit. And that comment happened. So I went home. I called every single person on my team, checking in with them. Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up? Seeing if they're running, seeing if they're serious, seeing if they're in the game. How badly did they want it? How badly did they want to get to the next rank? Some of them are 2A. When do you want to hit 3A by? Some of them were 4A. When do you want to hit 4A by, 5A by? I checked in with everybody. And then I had another thought and I said, well, shit, the easiest people to sell to are people already in my team. I got to call everyone back. So I called everyone back and I was like, by the way, do you have an Inespa yet? They're like, oh, no, not yet. I'm like, the perfect time to get one is right now. So I sold like 12 Inespas to my existing team. Now I only needed like 7 sales left. I was like, yo, this was legit. Then I told them to call their team. They sold a bunch of products. Then we had a couple trifectas or something like that. And boom, last day of the month, hit 6A. Now, the reason why I told Clint a little bit later on is that it's easy is because I thought I needed a whole month to hit 6A when I hit it. I only needed a week. So when we're looking at our goals and our targets, you can do what you think you need 6 weeks for in a week. Do you get this? And then if you only get halfway, worst case scenario, then you just do the other half next week and you still hit it in 2 weeks instead of 6 weeks. This is the mentality, because when there is a deadline and it's closer as opposed to further away, you think differently. You approach the situation differently. You plan your day differently. Your hustle is different. Your motivation is different. Everything is different. How many of you guys had a school project one day, long time ago, whenever that was, and you had 6 months until the project was due? When did you start the project? Like the day before it was due? Right? We all did that shit. I did it. Did you do it? So why did we need 6 months for the project? It could have been due in 2 days when the teacher announced it. But because we had all this time, we lollygagged, we procrastinated, we got distracted. Heck, most of us forgot there was even a project in the first place. And like our parents reminded us like, hey, you got a project due like next week. You're like, oh shit. And then you made it happen. This is the same thing. 6A in 6 weeks. Some of you haven't even turned the jets on because you're like, oh, I got 4 or 5 more weeks. No. 6A is due a week from today. The teacher changed the due date. You guys getting this? You need to find out what you're made of. Kylie Stevenson. How many of you guys have heard of Kylie Stevenson before? Anybody ring a bell, the name? Kylie Stevenson, last year we had a call. And we talked about hitting 100K months so she could hit her goal. And I said to Kylie, I said, what if you just booked back-to-back-to-back calls in one single day and you had 100K month from one day of action? She's like, watch this. She went live in a Facebook group, booked, I think it was 15 calls back-to-back in a single day, and she had her first $100,000 month. And she sold like, I think it was like 12 trifectas and like 3 quads or something insane. I think one or two people didn't buy and then the rest were trifectas and quads. In one day. Most of you would do that in one day, you'd hit 6A. So now, are you thinking that this is much more attainable, much more possible, much more realistic, when whatever your mind has been telling you that you have 6 weeks to do, do it in a day. See if you can. Because 24 hours of that type of level of focus and commitment is worth more than scattered commitment over the course of a month. I promise you that. Because you're in the mojo, back, like, even in my case, on Mondays, I do back-to-back-to-back-to-back calls all day, because by the second or third call, I'm in the flow. I'm like, yo, let's just bring it. I'll just stay right here. I'll keep my Zoom on. You send people and everybody will buy something. I'll just sit right here all day long. And then I don't have to go on Zoom for like a month if I don't want to. Like, it's done. So this is the mentality that we need to start looking at. And when you get this type of momentum and then you document it, you do Insta stories, you record yourself, you post it on your social media, you start actually reinforcing the momentum. So people are watching you and it's like this rocket is taking off. And the more you take that massive above normal average action, people just go like, I want to get on the phone with you. Can I get on the phone with you? You're like, yeah, book it in. Yeah, book it in. And it just keeps it rolling. And this is what we've done so many times with Clint. Like, I remember he said, Blaj, I know we got a time zone difference. You know, it's 15, 16 hours time zone difference. I said, Clint, for the next 5 weeks or 6 weeks, I'm available 24/7, brother. You remember that, Clint? Anytime. My ringer stays on. You're my VIP contact. You text, you call, you need me, I'm available, because that's what it's going to take. And Clint's like, holy shit. Well, if you're that committed.
It felt like he never slept. He was always there.
I was always there. And literally, I took naps in between. It didn't matter. Sleep came second. And this is the type of mentality you got to have. And the thing that I really want you guys to remember from this call, from this whole conversation, from the 6A to 6 weeks, is that this is a story that you're writing right now in real time. And this story, how you show up when you achieve what other people don't think is possible, like Clint didn't think it was possible to hit 6A in the time that we had. I didn't think it was possible to hit 6A in 10 days when I hit 6A. Guys, this happened 8 years ago. For me, it happened 10 years ago. We're still talking about the story now. This story is an urban legend. It will live on forever. Every single person in Enagic will hear the story until my last breath on this earth. And then maybe even after that in the training videos and shit in the platform. It's going to live on forever. So what you're writing right now is that story. You're either going to have a triumphant, incredible, epic, legit, like glory in this 6 to 8 weeks, or you're going to have a bag of excuses and that story is going to suck. And we're just going to use it as an example of what not to do. Like, don't do that. That doesn't work. Do this. And so you get to choose. And I know that sounds a little bit intense or like aggressive or rough, but like, I'm just telling you, like, if you think from this point of view that you have one opportunity to sprint for 6A and then it's done. And then your next sprint is to 6A2. Your next sprint is to -3, right? We just had a legendary run when Clinton Christie and the whole squad, you know, ranked up last year to -5 and I hit -6. That's such a legendary story. We had a 90-day sprint times three. We did a 90-day sprint, then we did another 90-day sprint, then we did a 60-day sprint, and then we did a 17-day sprint until we actually hit it. And we were like, holy shit, we've been sprinting for like 7 months. And so once again, it was three times harder than we imagined at the beginning of the year. And it still got done about an hour before we got on stage to collect our official check and like our award. Doesn't matter. It got done. So this is the mentality that you have to have. And then the strategy is next. Then like what to do is next. But if you have the mentality off, it's going to be so much harder to hit it. And most likely for a lot of you, it won't happen. But if the mentality is on point, it's hell or high water, you'll find a way. So what I'm saying is when you look at your lead generation activities, your income producing activities, right? When you think about a business, any business, what makes the business be in business? Okay, I'll give you an example. So if there's a brick and mortar business with an office or like a physical building, right? Let's say McDonald's, okay? What if McDonald's removed all of the branding from their buildings, removed all the commercials, and basically stopped the conversation about that business? Would that business be in business if there was no marketing, no branding, no conversations, no commercials, nothing? Nobody talked about it. Business would go out of business. And obviously it's a shitty type of food. It's not the point. The point is like, if people don't know you're in business, you're not in business. This is making sense. Just because you have a machine sitting on your counter that talks to you, that you drink healthy water, is not enough for you to be in business. That's just you having the most epic water machine on your counter. That's it. So some of you think you're in business and no one actually knows you're in business. Because you don't tell anybody. You're too scared to talk to people. You're too scared to like say, this is what I do. This is how it works. This is why I'm excited. This is what the products can do. This is what the business can do. This is what I'm excited about. And like people go, oh shit, you're in business because you're talking about it. And you may not have a commercial on TV or you may not have a big office or a restaurant on the corner, but your personal brand, your online presence, your conversations, whether it's in person with strangers that you just met at the local coffee shop or online or with ads, it doesn't matter. Unless there are a way for people to know you're in business, you are not in business. So this is a really big aha moment for a lot of people. It's like, when was the last time I even talked about the fact that I'm in business? It's like, oh shit, it was 6 months ago. Well, a traditional business would be out of business if you didn't talk about it for 6 months. This is making sense. That's the first thing to really consider is how often are you having conversations proudly declaring, I'm in business. The next thing is we get so worried and so caught up around what people think about us. Like Clint said earlier with the stigma of like, I don't want to be one of those guys, or I don't want people to label me as like someone who DMs a person around about a business opportunity or whatever. So we have a lot of fear around the rejection, the judgment, criticism, the shit talking behind our backs to other friends, that like mutual friends, like, oh, did you hear Blaj doing that thing, right? Which by the way has all happened to me. So I know that that's a thing. But my perspective had to be the opposite. And a reframe of your mind, a reframe of your paradigm is often exactly what you need to shift things. So when you go on your Facebook friends after this call, one of the tasks that we are going to give you is go through your friends list or your newsfeed, people posting things. And I want you to assume, looking at their photo, maybe check out a couple of their posts, maybe they have a picture of their family, their children, their spouse, maybe a holiday they were on, whatever they posted. And I want you to imagine, hypothetically, that that family is going through some hard times, that that family is in debt, that family had one of the spouses laid off from their job. Nobody knows, it's a secret, they're trying to figure it out, but you know, Facebook is a highlight reel. People make it seem like they got their shit together. Most people don't. So it's like, instead of assuming they'll judge you or they'll ghost you or they'll make fun of you, imagine that they're actually asking, praying, wishing, hoping for an answer, for a solution, for someone to reach out and help them, but they have too much pride a lot of the time to actually make it known that they're looking for something. You know, you don't see a lot of people on social media make a post saying like, I'm in a lot of trouble financially. Does anyone have a business opportunity for me so I can change my fucking life? How many times have you guys seen a post like that? I never see them. Why? And yet all of you at some point saw an ad, watched a webinar, watched a web class, and you decided that this is exactly what you were looking for. And it was the perfect fit for you. So clearly it's a thing, it's out there, but we can't see that from this perceived highlight reel social media. And so whenever I do see someone who's in trouble or needs something, whatever, it's usually a GoFundMe type of angle, like a handout, a charity, contribute, give back. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not making fun of it. But very few people go, listen, I'm in a bad place. I'm in debt. I'm fucking struggling. And if anybody on my Facebook has a business opportunity that can change my life, pop it in the comments or send me a DM. I'm ready to fucking do this shit. How many times do you guys see that? I don't see it. Maybe I'm on the wrong part of the internet, but I don't see it in my world. So it's not a thing usually. But what if we imagined and we assumed that when we see these faces, we see these names, that that is what's going on in their mind. That is what they're talking about behind closed doors. Man, we really got to make a change. We got to pay off this damn mortgage, man. This interest rate is crazy. Ever since COVID, man, life is so much harder. Inflation, holy shit. Did you know, like imagine they're talking in the kitchen. Hey, babe, I just got back from the grocery store. Did you see milk's $8? What? The bread? You know what I'm saying? Like this is real life conversations happening behind closed doors, but it's not on social media. So if we assume this and we reach out and we say, hey, look, this might be a reach. This might be inappropriate or you might not be looking or whatever, but I just wanted to ask you. And then you say something like Clint saying is like, hey, are you looking to make money online? Do you want to have supplemental income? I just wanted to ask and see if that's something you're looking into. And a lot of people will be like, actually, yeah, I am. What are you up to? What are you doing? And so this is the way that I approached my business in the beginning is that first I expected the best. I assumed that what I had, they were looking for, they needed it, and I genuinely can help them. That was what I was expecting. If it was a negative response or they ghosted me or they whatever, something like this, I was genuinely surprised. I was like, oh, you're one of the few rich people. Oh, okay. Let's say that you had 500 friends on Facebook or whatever, 1,000 followers, whatever it is, like your database, your contacts on your phone, in your phone book on your iPhone or whatever, right? Email list. People that you used to work with, just like your wider influence, people who would be considered warm market, but like they kind of know you, they know your name, they've seen you, whatever, whatever. Another frame that I had when right after I hit 6A. So I hit 6A and during that first year of my business, I had this really uncomfortable feeling in my body that it was like an unhealthy urgency. Like I came across desperate. I wanted people to make a fast, quick decision. I didn't like when people said they need to think about it or get back to me. Like it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, no, like fucking decide right now. Like it was pretty unhealthy, but I was just like super like, it's a yes or no. Are you in or are you out? Because I felt like these maybes and these think about it's were like weighing me down, occupying too much of my thoughts. Cause I'd be thinking about them. Like, hopefully it's a yes. I'm like, I just want to get all that out of my head. Yes, no. So anyways, it was a little bit unhealthy. And after I hit 6A, I had this moment and I said, wait a second, why would I ever stop this business? And I sat in my office, I was just kind of pondering, thinking about it. I'm like, what would make me ever stop? Contemplated some possible outcomes. I was like, well, like, the only thing I could genuinely like land on that was legit, like real, is if it was something outside of my control, like company went out of business or they stopped paying my commissions or something happened, you know, something like that. But I'm like, if everything's good and it has been literally this whole time for 11 years and it's growing and it's improving, the word's getting out, the momentum is going up, what would make me ever stop? And I came to the conclusion a year in, nothing. I found it. I literally found it. The same way I found my wife, and that journey is done. Like, found my wife, I'm good. The search for my wife and the mother of my kids is finished. The search for the ultimate golden goose business model and company and product is complete. I found it. I'm done. I have other things I'm going to continue to explore about my journey and all that, but like these two things are concluded. They're finished. Now I just got to continue to nurture and grow and invest into those things so it doesn't change the dynamics. And as I'm sitting there in my office, this like peace like washed over me, like, oh man, that feels so nice. It feels so nice to not have that like now, let's go. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I said, okay, so from this day forward, whenever someone comes full circle to what Clint has talked about with like, I'm ready to get a machine, or I finally understand that this water is good for me, and I have seen other people with it, like even recently, right? The hydrogen water, it started to be more talked about online and stuff. So sometimes people need this delay to find like reinforcing information, confirmation, affirmation from other sources, and then they finally are ready to go. So I had this moment, I'm like, at any point in the future, if a prospect that I speak to isn't ready, all I'm going to say to them is like I said to Clint, like, I wish you well with whatever you do, but can we make a deal? Can we have an agreement? And the person's like, all right, sure, what? I'm like, the agreement is that when you decide that you want to get started or invest in this machine, that we have a handshake deal that you'll just come back to me and buy it from me. Fair enough? Yeah, okay, cool. No worries, man. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's a sale one day. Like, I know it's going to happen at some point. I had the confidence and the belief, like, one day, that's a sale. I planted a seed. Now this seed is going to be watered by my machine. Literally and figuratively. And eventually I have all these sales that will happen in the future, because at a certain point, my journey will be undeniable. My success, my results, my sales volume, the lives I've touched, the impact, the number of the number of people that have freedom, the lifestyle that I'm enjoying with my family, the, you know, like buying your dream home or buying investment properties, like it's just going to be stacking on top of each other. And every single person who doubted it at some point is going to keep having evidence that they were wrong, that they didn't have the full information. They made a mistake, right? And even if they never have the realization, I don't give a fuck, because my life is continuing to improve. So it's like all good. So at that moment, I decided that I would rather, at the end of my life or in the future, I would rather have sent out this invitation to everybody that I've ever come in contact with and put it in their court, like the ball is in their court. So I invited you, and it's up to you what you do next. Do you watch the webinar or do you watch Netflix instead? Do you get started or do you keep buying bottled water for the rest of your life? The ball is in your court, but you cannot say from ignorance that you did not know that I was doing this. You did not know about this company. You did not know about these products, because I have introduced it to you and I've invited you. And that gave me peace. Okay, here we go. And so when we do these runs, when we do these sprints, it's important to have this opportunity to check in, that at any point in the future, would you regret inviting someone to take a look at Enagic? to like take a look at the water demo or try the water or the business opportunity or the potential that this company gives us, or with, you know, the Freedom Era and everything that comes with the education and the training and the support and the community, would you ever regret sending out an invitation? And if the answer is no, then it's time to blast out this invitation during this 6 weeks, because there's no better time than right now for everybody to know that the invitation is there. Is this making sense for what I'm trying to say? Is this coming across you understanding that if you're truly all in and you've planted your flag and you have full certainty and full belief in yourself, in the community, in the training, in the company, then please ask me or please tell me, why would you hold back anything? Why? It does not actually make any logical sense. If you spelled it out and you wrote it out, holding back and not giving it everything you have and not sending out the invites, not having those conversations makes zero sense, because on the other side, you said that you're all in, and those two things can't coexist. You're either all in and you send out the invitation to the world, or you're holding back and something's stopping you. And so that's the decision. As soon as you're truly all in, then it's game on. Like, and then you see everybody completely differently. You see them as people that are hoping, praying, wishing for better health, better finances, better freedom, and that you are the answer. And so you're going to go find out whether or not that's true, expecting the best, not the worst. You're expecting to be thanked instead of ridiculed and criticized. You're expecting the best. And if it is the opposite, you're genuinely like shocked. You're like, oh, all right. You're one of those people. All right. So that's what I've done. And I wanted to share more of the mentality and the mindset and the approach, and it's paid off. You know, like that moment of clarity that I just shared that specific day was 10 years ago. And I've never wavered or doubted or regretted or gone back on that feeling of that one day of clarity in my office at my old place I used to live. Just like, it just all became so clear. I'm like, wow, I'm just never gonna stop. This mission is literally bigger than the remaining years of my life. This mission will continue after my life is done, because a global prosperity movement is gonna take multiple generations. It's not just my generation. Is this making sense? And then I was like, okay, baby, like there, it's everything opened up. And what you'll notice is that when you're locked in this spiritual way, energetically, in your being, everything's in full alignment, you'll start to notice like you get lucky. You'll start to have surprises in your life. You'll get money in the mail that is unexpected. You'll have good news come to you. You'll have just things clicking and flowing, and it becomes easier and more effortless. Even though you're putting in the effort, everything just starts to flow because you're fully locked into that energy and that alignment. And there is so many people that maybe by accident are lying to themselves for whatever reason, that they're all in and they're not, that they believe in themselves, but they don't, that they think that they're all the way there spiritually and energetically, but they're not. And so that is the biggest thing that will unlock everything else, because at that point you have no fear. At that point, you realize that you have the community, you have the tools, you have everything you need to be successful, and it's just you in your own way. And as soon as you kind of remove that block, you go, it's game on. And then the first thought you're going to have is 6 weeks? Shit, I don't need 6 weeks. Let's go. But right now, if you're not in that space, you're like, 6 weeks, oh my God, this is hard. And all that stuff is going on in your head. So I've seen a lot of you in the community for quite some time. And some of you are even commenting literally right now about, you know, I've been procrastinating. I've been distracted. I've been having things going on. And I know that. I know that, because I can tell the results of people who are not procrastinating. I can tell the results of people that are distracted. So the only person you're fooling is yourself. Everyone else can tell whether you're all in or not. Because that type of movement, that type of certainty, that type of confidence, that type of energy, you can't hide it from the world. Everybody knows. Look at the GPM Facebook group or the TFE Facebook group. The people crushing it, people on the leaderboards, people making it happen. Isn't it obvious who is procrastinating and who is not? Obviously, some people are new, but the people been around for a while, it's very obvious. So I hope that you guys really understand that, like, life is short. You know what I'm saying? Life is short, and there's no point being stuck in purgatory between your old life and your future life. That's where a lot of people are right now on this call. You're literally stuck 1 foot in your old life and 1 foot trying to enter your new life. And that in-between purgatory sort of feeling is the worst because you're in conflict. One hand, you're like, oh, it's like this. On the other hand, you're like, I want it to be like that. It's time. It's time to release the past. Literally, that's what we call the line in the sand moment, is like you shift. And then from that day forward, you leave it all out there. And you'll be so amazed at how fast things will come together, right? How quickly people go, yeah, I want a trifecta. And then as you're processing the paperwork, you're like, you know what? My mom and dad also want a K8. And you sell 5-6 units in one. Like, this happens all the time in the community. There's people that are, can't believe it, because they're finally a lock into what they want to create. So I hope that was inspiring and powerful and landed for those people that needed to hear that. It was just in my intuition to share this, kind of like, because if you don't, if you still think about what could be outside of this in terms of your path in the early days, it's just going to pull away from your like true power to create, and you won't create what you're capable of and your potential. So
I hope you found something useful here to help you unlock more freedom in your life. We're just getting started. So if there's something you want to hear or a guest you want me to have on the podcast, shoot me a message at The Diamond Life Mentor on Instagram and let me know. You can discover incredibly helpful resources and more ways to build your diamond life now at my website, balazswcardos.com. At the end of the day, this is all about bettering yourself and helping others. So if you think you can help someone else by sharing this podcast, that would be the ultimate win for me. And of course, subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening.